Go to Norway.
942-0160. Okay.
WLMA.
All right. How are we doing today?
Doing good. Yourself?
Very good. Very good. We have Dr. Walters here. And Dr. Walters, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
You're doing well. And yeah, your voice sounds, is your voice okay? A little craggy here from all that smoke?
Not too much, I hope.
Not too much, you hope. No, it sounds good, doesn't it, Brian?
Can you bring him down just a little bit?
Okay. Let's see. Bring him down just a little bit. Sure. Okay. So, Dr. Walters, how long have you been back here in the States?
It was 3 weeks ago, almost, I guess 2.5 weeks ago when this occurred. So, we were back Thursday a week ago.
How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
All right, sounds great. Lock us in.
All right.
All right, we're ready to go.
And our bags arrived on Friday. So.
Was all your stuff there?
So far, so everything.
Oh, that's great. All right, and I'm here with the one and only Lex Walters right here talking cruising, talking having a good time, talking what can happen on a cruise. Got it, Ree? All right, and we're here with Dr. Lex Walters here today talking about cruising. You got it?
Okay, did it turn out good?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This is good. I have a second chance.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and start.
Absolutely. Just go ahead and start it. That'll be fine.
It's a neat little device, whatever it is.
It's great because it captures the video, the audio real well. You know, so many, they don't, but this captures, and in fact, it's made to be used for concerts and that type of thing.
Really?
So, yeah.
Neat.
So we'll post a video of this on YouTube, and pretty cool.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you'll be able to tell other people. They can go watch you or listen to you,
either
way.
There have been a number of YouTube videos on the ship.
Yeah.
On the story, Rosemary and I were on 2 or 3 of the photographs in it.
Wow. Well, see, now you'll have your own video right here on YouTube. So this happened. Now, how long had you had flown from Greenwood to?
Well, we drove to Charlotte and went from Charlotte to Bergen, Norway, and went through New York and then on to Bergen, Norway, and we were there one day and then got on the ship late the second day.
So how long were you actually on the ship?
14 hours.
14 hours? So you went that late afternoon and spent the night?
Yes, yes. Right. We got there in time to have dinner that evening, and they did a safety presentation that evening. And then we went on in and got everything out of the suitcases and squared away, and we were actually going through a bit of a storm, so that one of the remnants of the hurricane that came up the U.S. coast got over to Norway, and that night it was really a rough night on the ship. It was rocking and rolling. We had trouble sleeping, and finally the storm settled down, and the ship was about 3 hours late getting into the port where we were supposed to have a chance to get off and visit this beautiful city. And about, I guess, 30 minutes before we were to arrive, they had an explosion in the equipment room.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very well. We'll save it for the end. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Greenwood. Hey, it's Jim Bohannon. Keep listening to WLMA.
So you were in the hospital for 2 days?
They wanted to keep it longer, but they gave an opportunity to go to some of the fjords to get people's mind off of everything, and so I talked the doctors into getting me on out of there because I went there to see the fjords of Norway, so this would be my chance on that trip. So they finally agreed, and I was able to.
Did they make you take any oxygen with you or anything?
No, he made me promise if I continued to have problems to come back to the hospital, but I didn't go back.
Good Monday afternoon, and welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Lex Walters, President Emeritus at Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Bassett's Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here. We have gotten Dr. Lex Walters to come in and tell us about his trip to Norway. I'll bet when you flew out of Charlotte there, you never thought you'd have an experience to come back and talk about like this one. I know you probably went with the idea of having a great experience to see the fjords and everything over there in Norway, but not what happened there.
Well, that's certainly the case, because we had heard for years how beautiful the country of Norway is, and we have friends that have visited there, and they have told us how attractive the country is, how beautiful the fjords are, the snow-capped mountains, and we had looked forward for a long time going on this trip. So it didn't work out quite as we had planned.
So you flew from Charlotte, and then what? You had to go to New York, and then from New York to Norway?
That's correct. And we went into Bergen, Norway, which is along the coast, and that's where we boarded the ship.
Okay. And you were all full of lovely anticipation as you boarded that afternoon, correct?
Well, we were. It's kind of an interesting ship. In fact, most of the ships that go up the Norway coast are quasi-cruise lines. They are working ships as well as cruise ships. And
oh, okay.
This particular one stops at different points up the coast and takes on mail. And actually, people can drive their cars on the ship, and they go from one location to the next. Norway is such a mountainous country that often it's easier for people to go up the coast and go from one location to the other on the ships than it is to drive the highways. So this particular cruise ship, it was a nice ship, but it wasn't the kind of cruise ship that you normally go on, the Queen Mary or the QE2 or one of those. It only carries a maximum of about 600 people, and the day we were on there, it had about half that number.
Wow. So you had people that would be getting on with their cars and driving there like a ferry almost.
Yes, it is much like a ferry, and they pick up shipments of different types, and they stop all along the way. And at the larger destinations, you can get off the ship and take tours and that kind of thing.
So when you got on the ship, I guess you probably had a lovely dinner that night.
Well, we did. We were there in Bergen, which is a beautiful city. I'd never been there and really hadn't heard anything about it, but it was unique. It was many of the buildings were unique in architectural designs, and we had a half day there after we arrived in Bergen and got in from the airport to kind of walk around, tour the city, and really enjoyed that. Then we came in late afternoon and got on a bus and they carried us to the ship. And we got to the ship probably about 5 o'clock, and they recommended that we go in and get settled in the ship and then have a nice dinner. Mm-hmm. And we did all of that.
You did all of that. And then what, though? But then when you went back to the cabin that night, you were telling me that it was a little rocky.
Well, I learned after I got to Norway that many of the storms that come up the U.S. coast actually go on up above England and go to the country of Norway. The warm currents of the Gulf Coast actually go all the way up by New England to Norway, and therefore along the coast of Norway, there it's much warmer than other parts of Europe and other parts of Norway. But the fact that the warmer currents go up there, it also carries many of the storms that come up the U.S. coast. So that night, we did go through the remnants of one of the hurricanes that had gone up the coast, and the ship was rocking and rolling, and had trouble sleeping. But in fact, it was running very late, about 3 hours late, getting to the first port that we were supposed to arrive at.
Because of the storm.
Because of the storm, yes.
Now, what was this? Was this, you arrived, what, September 14th? Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, okay, because the 15th was the date of this.
Yes, that's correct.
So September 14th, so you get up the next morning, and you're kind of tired already because you hadn't slept that well. You've done all this traveling.
And you had jet lag.
And yes, that's right. So here you are. You're going, and I guess you all went down and had a breakfast.
Well, we got up that morning, and, it's kind of interesting. The night before, they did do a safety briefing, and they didn't have us go to the life rafts. As most of the cruise lines, they carry you out, and you see which lifeboat you would be on if you had an emergency, and they let you try on your life jacket and that kind of thing. Well, this particular cruise line, they didn't do that. They carried us up, and they had their chief safety officer that showed us what a life jacket looks like, and had one of their staff put it on so that you knew basically how it operated. And they commented that we'll have some more safety briefings on the trip.
Okay.
But this, now you know what the life jacket looks like, and if you need one, we'll give you one. And so then we went on and got back to the room and took everything out of the luggage and got it all placed away, and tried to go to sleep before the storm really took place.
Sure. So you hadn't had a real safety inspection here, shall we say, on what exactly you did. So the next morning...
Well, we went on down to breakfast. In fact, we were a little late getting to breakfast because we hadn't slept very well, and we didn't have any particular... We knew we weren't into port because the ship obviously had not arrived there yet. So we went on down to the breakfast, and we were there having breakfast and had just about completed, and someone came and said, report to Deck 5 immediately. Well, we thought it was just a another part of the safety, because Deck 5, and we were on Deck 5, that's where the lifeboats were located. Mm-hmm. So the thought was, we're going up for the second part of the safety briefing.
For the official one. Okay.
But as we came by the kitchen, I noticed that smoke was boiling out of the kitchen. I thought, goodness, we've got a kitchen fire. So that's what the problem is. We've got a kitchen fire. But then when we got up to Deck 5, Deck 5 was saturated with smoke, and at first we went out on one side of the ship, and obviously it was the wrong side, because the whole side of that was just engulfed with heavy, dense black smoke and fumes, and staff of the crew there said, no, go to the other side of the ship, hurry, get to the other side of the ship. So we headed to the other side of the ship.
I don't suppose you were dressed really to be out going out. You probably went down for breakfast kind of casual here.
We did. We didn't have jackets or anything. In fact, when we got outside, it was obvious we needed jackets because it was very cold. And I realized that we had a big problem, because when we got outside the ship and looked up, the whole sky was black with this heavy, dark smoke, and it was so heavy that, you know, it didn't go up, it actually came down around the ship. And as I went back by Deck 5, I mentioned to my wife, I said, look, I need my medications, because I have an irregular heartbeat, and the medications I have are not that easy to find. And I said, you know, if I don't get them, I don't know that I can find them here, and that's a major problem for me.
Sure.
So we were on Deck 5, and that's where the lifeboats were, and I knew that my room was the seventh room down, so I opened the door and looked, and it was a lot of smoke was on the hallway, and I started not to go down, but I thought, you know, my medications, a passport, credit cards, money,
Rosemary
all of
left
that.
Her purse in there.
Everything. Everything like that. We really had a shirt and trousers and nothing. In fact, she had left her pocketbook in there, and she said, while you're in there, said, I need my jacket, I need my pocketbook, because it has the passports in it. And I said, well, where's your pocketbook? She said, well, I hid it in the closet.
And I said, well, how am I going to find it?
Said, how can I find it if you hid it in the closet? She said, well, I thought they'd be cleaning the room, and I didn't want them to find it with our passports and money and so forth. So here I go charging down to the room, thinking that I can hold my breath till I get there and the room wouldn't be as bad, which it wasn't when I got in the room. I immediately went for my medications, and I found them, and I searched for my wife's medications, and finally found them. About that time, the power went off in the ship. So there I was inside this room, and it was totally dark, and I hadn't found the pocketbook yet. So here I go searching through the closet. Well, I got the jackets that we badly needed, and search, and finally found the pocketbook. And there were several other things that later I thought, oh, I wish I'd had gotten while I was in there. But when I got back to the door, felt around and got to the door and opened it, the fumes and the smoke just saturated. Just the hallway had totally filled up with the smoke. In fact, our room, although it was on the fifth level and the engine room was down on the first level, we were on the same end of the ship where the explosion in the equipment room, which is really the problem that had occurred.
Did you ever feel anything?
No, we didn't feel a thing. Exactly what had happened, but all we knew is that total saturation of smoke. And so coming up the hallway, I knew that we were in the seventh room down, so I kind of felt my way along and
counted the doors
and got to the door to open and pushed on it, and it wouldn't open. And I'm sure that's the point I sucked in a lot of those fumes and carbon and smoke, because it was almost panic. The door would not open, and I shook it and realized at that point, well, I'd already brainstormed, well, if it won't open, what do? I go back to my room. There is a little porthole window there. I can kick out and maybe get out that way. But when I shook the door, I realized in the panic of things, I was trying to open it the wrong way. So when I realized what the problem was, and I opened it the other way, me and a lot of smoke just came barreling out of this hallway and went on out. And by that time, they were lowering the lifeboats, and they were passing out the life jackets, and they were telling everyone to line up because you'll be getting on the lifeboat.
So, Rosemary, she didn't have any worry that she didn't say, somebody needs to go find my husband?
No, at that point, she was standing there looking for me because she knew that I was due back and probably should not have gone back. But I was so concerned about the medications, because if I don't take my medication to regularize my heartbeat, it can be a real problem for me. So anyway, she was there looking for me, and I came rushing back out and was able to get essentially the things that we had to have.
The jackets. I would consider that pretty darn important, along with the medications.
It was
there.
Cold. But I will say, the life jacket that they gave us, and it's different from the life jackets that I'd seen on other cruises, because this one was an insulated life jacket, and I guess it was insulated because the waters in Norway are so cold relative to the Caribbean or some of the other places that you would go where they would give out.
So was it a jacket?
Well, it completely covered the main parts of the body, and it actually had a hood that came over the head, and it had sleeves on it. So it really, I guess the thought was, if you had to go in the water, as cold as it was, you needed something to insulate you from the water. It covered everything, but from your knee on down.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. So you did have a jacket. You just didn't know you had a jacket there.
At that point, we didn't.
Well, that's great. Hey, you know what? We are talking with Dr. Lex Walters. We're talking about his adventures in Norway aboard the cruise ship. When we come back, we're going to talk more about it. Hey, don't you go away. And if you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. I would be surprised. How did they account for people?
We got to the hotel. Everyone signed in, and there were several people that obviously skipped that procedure. So they were searching for them everywhere, and they moved us all into a big room in the hotel, and we signed in as you went into that room, and they came in and say, we're missing so and so and so and so. Have any of you seen them? They said, oh, they're right over there, you know. So the ones that missed signing in. And so finally they came back and said that everyone had been accounted for, except some of the crew that were on the lower levels, and we learned later that some had died in the process.
Bergen has never been successfully assaulted. The settlements there date back 25,000 years. Everyone uses the ships rather than the highways.
They
really
save
time. And I want you to please try it again. And you put out a number of things, and he'll try to call you.
Good.
Great.
Great. Well, I will say,
from Norway, Leif.
You're right. It is, and we're not turned off against Norway. In fact, we'd like to go back.
Did they give you tickets to go back?
Well, they refunded everything about the trip, and the company that owns the ship has offered us a 30% reduction if we choose to go back. So,
great.
Yes, we haven't.
We haven't booked it yet,
but you know they, and we'll talk a little about that. The cruise line, or the ship, Hurtigruten was the name of it, the ship line, they just went overboard to make sure that all of our needs were met. And example, we were across, the hotel was across the street from a mall, and they made arrangements with one of the stores in the mall, go over there, and anything that you need, just charge it to the company. And anything, they gave us spending money while we were there, because a lot of people didn't have credit cards or any money. The ladies were all concerned they didn't have their makeup. We need makeup. So the company gave them money to buy. They really did.
That's great.
That's great.
That's called service.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can talk a little about the ship, the problems with the ship, and the fact that it almost sunk.
I was reading about it. Okay, we're back.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Lex Walters, President Emeritus of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Bassett's Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about the trip to Norway that really didn't turn out the way you anticipated when you went on that trip, did it?
No, it Dr. Walters? It certainly didn't.
But we were just talking about, they had these great life jackets. I find that amazing. I mean, it actually sounds like it almost was like a winter coat.
Well, it almost was, and I think the idea was that in case you were in the water, it would insulate the body from some of the coolness of the water.
So they got you to the, so once you got up there, and then what did they do? They loaded you in these lifeboats, and did they drop you down, or did they lower you down, or what happened then?
Well, it was interesting, I think, in that everyone was over on this one side of the ship, which was opposite from the way the wind was blowing, the smoke that was covering the entire opposite side of the ship, and they had lowered the lifeboat down to the level of the fifth level, they said we'll be boarding the lifeboats, and they had given everyone these life jackets, and we'd gotten them on, and they had crew there, and everything, the crew just performed beautifully. They were so organized. They got everyone in line and started loading people on. We had some people there that were in a couple that were in wheelchairs, and of course you can't get wheelchair people into the lifeboats, so they had to lift them up and get them in. They had a special place in the lifeboat for those that needed special care. But then the lifeboats would put 150 people, and it was really like you were in there with sardines. You were stacked in there. Everyone on the ship, the ship was only about half loaded at that point. It would have taken on more people as it had gone on up the coast, but they were able to get all of the people that were traveling as tourists in two of the life boats.
Wow.
And it's kind of interesting. Everyone kept saying, well, they'll get this under control, and we'll get back out, and we'll get back on the ship. And everyone's saying, well, I need my credit cards. I need my money. I don't have anything. And
were you the only one that has run down to get your stuff?
Well, there were several people that were in the room,
okay,
in their room, and when they got the emergency, they grabbed things. But probably of the 212 people that were tourists on it, our group had 42 people in it. It was a tour group that was had been booked as a separate entity, mm-hmm, a separate group. I would say out of the 42 people in our group, there were only 6 people that had their passports and had everything they needed basically with them. So it was beneficial to go back to the room, even though looking back on it, I probably have done it, but the fear was if I didn't do that, it could be more disastrous because of the heart problem if I could not take the medications.
Wow. So they get you in the lifeboats, and then what happens?
Well, the lifeboat started lowering down, and everyone said, well, I guess we're going to go on the lifeboat. And, we were so fortunate in that we were about a mile from the shore where the explosion in the machine or the engine room occurred. Because had the problem occurred the night before when we were going through the storm out on the open seas, it would have been disaster. And these little lifeboats, they had so many people stacked in. They actually had you three levels. They had seating in there where you would sit on one of three different levels. And I thought, had it really been rough on that small lifeboat, people would have been sick. And I was on the lowest level, I thought.
Looking up there, not a good place to be right at that moment.
But anyway, when it started lowering down, and on the way down, it had a little diesel engine that came on. It was puttering and puttering along, and when it hit the water and the cables released, we knew that we were headed to shore on the lifeboat.
Wow. Wow, that is pretty amazing. Did you think that the staff had everybody under control? Were there any people that were getting hysterical, or did everybody remain calm?
No, I was really amazed about that. But everyone was calm. No one was hysterical. No one was panicked. Everything was very orderly, and the staff were, you know, giving their directions, and everyone was following the directions. Everyone was in somewhat of a shock, I think, for what was going on. But it was very orderly. And then I was really amazed. The people on shore, the emergency people, had seen the fire from a distance. In fact, it was a major smoke plume going up from the ship, so they knew that a problem had occurred before the emergency signals came out from the ship. So by the time we got to the land, which I said was about a mile away, all of the emergency people were already there. They had their version of the Red Cross there. They had doctors, and in fact, they have kind of a medical system there that supports everyone that lives in Norway, I guess, and
it's more socialized.
It's a social democracy, as I understand the way they term it. So the doctors got the call report immediately to this hotel that they were taking us to, and so as we got there and as we signed into the hotel, the medical staff was there to check everyone out and to make sure that immediate needs were being met.
And now you had smoke inhalation, so how were you? What kind of condition were you in?
Well, in the beginning, I was coughing. I was coughing up smoke and the carbon in my whole. When I would blow my nose, that it would just fill the handkerchief with carbon. So I knew I had taken in a good bit, but the first afternoon it didn't seem to be too much of a problem. I was coughing and coughing up some of the carbon particles, but by late afternoon and that evening I realized I had something of a problem, because I was becoming congestion, and it was fluids were collecting around the carbon particles. So I went to the doctor, and he listened to my chest, and he said, we need to get you on.
You to the hospital.
Right. We need to get you down for x-rays. We need to see how serious this is. And there were about probably 50 people off the cruise ship that did go to the hospital for evaluation. And I thought it would be going down for x-rays, and I'd be there 2 or 3 hours. And when they did the evaluation, they said, we're going to keep you for a while. So, but I was really impressed. Their hospital systems there, the staff was so professional. All of the equipment that I saw was very up-to-date. And I was really impressed with the people that assisted me there.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the trip to Norway. That's right. Hey, don't you go away. We're going to join South Carolina News in Progress. We'll be back in just a moment.
So now this hole, I'm surprised that nobody noticed it, you know, that you didn't hear an explosion or something, because they said that there was a 15 by 3 inch rift, and I mean there was a hole blown in the side of the ship.
Well, there were several holes in the ship on both sides of the engine room, mm-hmm. and they had all kind of emergency people in there. They suspected sabotage. They didn't know what. And they had their version of the the FBI in there inspecting. But
one call wanted to know if you were going to Brazil to help them set up technical colleges in Brazil. I hadn't heard that before.
No, not. I kind of doubt that.
Leaving.
No. I'll let someone else take that on. I'm sure they need them down there, but that's not part of my plan.
They're here in Colombia this week.
Oh, are they?
Really?
Good. Good.
So by next week, they'll know that you're gone.
Well, you know, the South Carolina system has visited countries all over the world. In fact, when I was working, I visited several in the Orient where they were looking at systems similar to ours.
And you had one from the Middle East that
wanted you to come over? Yes, right. I was there several times.
Yeah. Don't go.
No.
Well, I didn't. We had Dr. Griffiths from over there at Presbyterian
College. Oh, he's a neat fellow. A nice guy.
Yeah, but see, I didn't. He announced actually on the show they had gotten a grant from the State Department to open up a cultural exchange program with China. And they're going mm-hmm. to have, just like they have the Confucius Center right here at Presbyterian College, they're going to have an American cultural center in this kind of, what he said, kind of a backwards area
right.
of China to bring American culture to right. those in China.
Well, many of the universities have those partnership programs, and some of the two-year colleges do across the country. In South Carolina, our focus was always South Carolina and what's needed here, and how can we improve things within the state. But many of the two-year colleges as well as four-year colleges have their sister college arrangements all across the globe.
Well, Piedmont Tech just seems to be growing by leaps and bounds.
Well, it is. It's going great guns. I had a foundation meeting last Thursday night that we went to, and enrollment is way up, and they've just gotten great grants, and so things march right on. It really is, huh?
I mean, the grants, they got three big grants.
Yes, right. And that really, especially at a time when the funding is so limited, that it'll allow them to do some things that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Very fortunate, you know, that the groundwork was laid there and it's just continued to grow.
Well,
it has to make you feel good.
Well, it really does. It certainly does. When I came in, there were only like 200 students a day and 100 at night. One small building, but it grew, and that's
fun. The new place that they've just purchased over in Lawrence there, the place that was in foreclosure, they got
right.
a deal on that. They'll be changing that up. I mean, it's just marvelous.
That's going to be super.
Yeah, it is. It's just marvelous. And I shop local. I support McDonald's. And Becky had been telling me about this grant that she'd hoped that she was able to get for black students, mm-hmm. black males. And she it did come through, so... It's hard to believe that they have
gotten
as well.
We've tried that several times before, but it didn't happen. But this time it did, and that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long did it actually take from the time that they said, we've got a problem here, till you got on the boats and then to get into the...
It took about probably... 30 minutes from the time that we knew that we had a problem until they started lowering the lifeboats.
Wow, that was pretty fast.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And then I guess an hour in all between the time that they first knew of the problem and they had everyone off the ship.
Okay, we're back.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Lex Walters, President Emeritus at Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, and Eller.
That's right, Brian. We are talking about Norway. Let's see. Dr. Walters and his wife, Rosemary, were on the MS Nordli. What a name, Nordli. And, of course, you were anticipating a great time. But, boy, this fire or the explosion. And I was just asking you, how long from the time that you actually found out that this happened till the time you were being lowered into the water, did the time pass?
Well, it passed rapidly. We were finishing breakfast when we first got the word that we were to report to Deck 5, and we thought it, as I mentioned earlier, was part of the safety briefing, so we weren't that anxious to get out, so we were completing, and this lady came rushing up, said, "You've got to go immediately to Deck 5. So we left and got on up, and I guess it took us 5 minutes or so to get there, and they were getting things kind of ready for getting people organized, in a sense. And it maybe took 15 minutes to determine that they were going to use the life boats, and they started lowering them down, and I would say 30 minutes everything was in place to get people off the ship, and it took about 30 minutes to get everyone off the ship into the lifeboats and onto the shore.
That's phenomenal. That's organization.
Well, it really was. I was so impressed with, in fact, this Hurtigruten ship line, I was so impressed with them. They assisted every step of the way. The staff was well trained to assist in getting us off the ship. Once we got to the shore, everything was planned just like it had been pre-rehearsed in terms of providing the services that we needed.
Wow. Well, now, you said you went to the doctor because you were having a problem, and then, of course, they did some x-rays. You thought, of course, you'd be going right back to the hotel, but
right,
that wasn't so.
Well, we got to the hotel, and in fact, it was kind of interesting. They put us up in this beautiful hotel. The hotel had a conference, and immediately they moved the people from the conference to another hotel so that they could accommodate everyone from the ship, and we went through a process of signing in to determine that everyone from the ship had been located, and a few they were missing initially, and they finally determined that everyone except the crew, they had two crew members that were died in the explosion in the engine room, and then several others were burned badly. They had about 50 people that got some level of smoke inhalation problems, and they had as I mentioned, the doctors and the nurses and the respiratory therapists and the Red Cross and others all there. They were checking people out and determining whether they needed to go to the hospital. And they had the ones that were most critically injured, they flew them to Oslo to a burn center. And the ones that had less of a problem, like me, they carried to the local hospital. And I was really impressed with, as I mentioned, everything about the hospital care that they provided there.
So, and then they kept you there, that you decided that you should stay a couple of days?
Well, I thought I was going for an x-ray, and when I got there, the doctor said, "We need to evaluate you," because he said, "I'm not liking what I hear in your chest," and they had done samples of from the blood, oxygen absorption within the blood, and the oxygen levels were low, so they immediately put me on oxygen and put me in the room. The one thing that I did find that's different from our system here, although I was so impressed with the equipment and everything about the hospital, the fact that they bring so many people into the hospital setting, they're when you go into your hospital room, you're in more or less a ward. There are no TVs in there. They're the beds with dividing curtains between them.
So no private rooms?
No. Well, they might have had them.
You didn't get a private room.
Where they put me, and that was immediately the concern, because they put me in a room with two other people, and on each side the people were very sick. One must have had pneumonia. The other, I don't know what his problem was, but he was coughing his head off, and I thought, goodness, I'm going to get more ill from this experience. But they did have a little reception room down at the end with a TV and a lounge chair, and most of the time I was in the hospital there when they were coming by about every 30 minutes to check my blood, and they did give a complete physical exam. They did the x-rays, of course, the electrocardiogram, the...
Did you happen to ask him whether you could have gotten your medication there?
Well, I did, and in fact, that was another thing. I mentioned the company, how well they took care of everything. Most of the people, of course, did not have any medications, so that was one of the real issues. How do they provide the medication? So everyone met with the medical staff, and you gave them a listing of the medications that you needed, and the ones that could be found immediately, they were delivered within the next 2 or 3 hours. Some that were more difficult to locate, they were a half a day or a day. They flew some of them in from other parts of the country. But they got them in.
One
of the medications that I would have needed, it's a new medication that's only been out for a couple of months. They did not stock it in their pharmacies there. But most everyone was able to get the medications that they needed. On a cruise like that, the average age was probably 60, and many of the people there much older, so many of them did need quite an array of medications, but their medical staff was able to coordinate the details so that it was provided.
Now, would you have been able to get that one medication, though, in Norway? Would they have been able to get
it? No, they did have some substitute medications that they would have provided. But I mentioned earlier, I was so impressed with this cruise line, what they did for us, that many people, they didn't have their passports, they didn't have credit cards, they didn't have money, and so...
makeup.
Yeah, that first day. They said, well, there's a mall right across from the hotel, so they made arrangements to go to this store in the mall and said, anything that you need there, the cruise company would provide it. So people went over and they got another couple of shirts and a pair of pants, and some got shoes and some got other things. The one thing that didn't have in this particular store was makeup. And the women saying, look, we got to have makeup, but we don't have any money. So the cruise line did provide money and gave everyone their equivalent of $300 the first day to go to the purchase all the necessities that they needed.
Wow. You know, what do you have to say about the cruise line? How did you? It sounds to me like they did everything possible to make it a good experience.
Well, they really did. They just went overboard. The president of the company was there, and every 2 hours they gave us an update on what the situation was. And he was there essentially the first 2 days of the trip, and they provided, as I mentioned, the additional clothing. They made sure that we had our needs met. They put us in this nice hotel, and food was available. In fact, one of the gentlemen jokingly said, goodness, you're taking such good care of us here. I don't know if I want to go back home. But they did do everything that they could to meet our needs. In fact, the cruise line has indicated that if we choose to go back to Norway, and I'd love to go back, I was so impressed with the parts of Norway that I saw, that they would give us a cruise at a 30% discount over the special rate that we had when we went.
Wow. And you got your whole refunded, correct?
Yes. All expenses, included the airfare, all of those were refunded. So
and they flew you back home,
They flew us back home, and they provided the hotel. And in fact, while we were there, if we needed to make telephone calls, they said just charge it to the room. It's all been taken care of. And so they provided internet, that we could get on the internet to let people know that we were okay. And you know, it's kind of interesting in talking with now, Richard Whiting here at the Index, he said that he got a call from Associated Press, Columbia, said, do you know the Walters in Greenland? He said, of course I know them. What? Said, well, we just got this AP story, and we have this photograph of the two of them that our photographer in Norway had taken, and they gave the complete story. So Richard said, well, we need the rest of the story. So between my son and the internet, we were able to provide some additional information to them. them about what had happened.
Absolutely. It was terrific. Well, hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the trip to Norway and how it all turned out. You know, it turned out well. Dr. Walters is back here with us. Rosemary is back, and things are doing well. So don't you go away. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
So you had 42 people in your group?
In our
cruise group, shall we say?
Yeah, we've traveled several times with a company. The name is Vantage, and it's a real good, and they go in and they buy space. And 42, they limit, it's the largest group that we've ever been on, but they want to make sure they just have enough to fit on one bus. And so they limited. In fact, this trip was booked. We had hoped to go the middle of the summer, but the we left on the 12th of September, here on the 12th. That was the earliest that we could book the trip.
Hi, Ann.
Okay.
Johan Wastel. That's how you pronounce that.
Wastel.
Okay. Hospital Dares has fewer incidents of infection than those here in the U.S. The lack of bureaucracy in the hospital is the key, because each person is responsible for their area. God help you, especially if you have an infection thing there. And they work on patient relationships. In other words, they put you with people that you could have some influence on, supposedly. But if you don't speak the language, smoke inhalation is extremely dangerous, especially after 60 years of age.
Well, I qualify.
He's here to sell. He's there on the infectious
Edward Jones, making
you know, staff member they're listening in the lounge.
Listening in the lounge. Well, how about that?
Oh, good.
Everybody tunes in to the show. I tell you what.
How do you pronounce his name?
Wastel.
Wastel.
Johan.
Johan
Wastel. Okay, got it.
And we might add too, the cruise line did to kind of get people's mind off. Everyone was standing around wanting to know when were we going to get our things and so forth. And we were there 5 days, and next to the last day, they said they provided us at of course no cost a full day tour of the fjords, which was really. In fact, I can tell a little bit of a story about getting back. The doctor was going to keep me for another day, and I knew this tour was going. I heard we were having the tour. In fact, while I was in the hospital, but I had to be back at 9 o'clock, and so about 6 o'clock that morning, I saw the head nurse. I said, "I need to get out of here. I want to go on this tour. This is my one chance to see the fjords." And she said, "We'll see what we can do." And the little lady was still taking my blood samples, and. So I saw her, and I said, "Can you take this one sample?" She said,
"Today's special guest is Dr. Lex Walters, President Emeritus of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Bassett's Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller."
Oh, that's right. We are here with Dr. Walters, Dr. Lex Walters. We just had a call in, Lex, that says Johan Wastel is listening down there at the hospital. He says the hospitals there have fewer incidents of infection than here in the U.S. Part of it, he says, lack of bureaucracy is the key there. Each area, I guess, is responsible. And patient relationships is emphasized. So they try to match people up so they'll be helping each other within a room. So that's kind of interesting. He also says that smoke inhalation is extremely dangerous, especially in those after 60 years of age, Dr. Walters.
Yes. Well, I agree with that about the hospital. I was so impressed with the facilities, their equipment, the personnel that I met. They were all just so professional and seemed to be so well trained. In fact, the doctor that worked with me on the smoke inhalation, did his training in Texas, and we had a nice conversation about the time that he spent here in the U.S. But he was there. He was a Navy doctor that with the Norway military system.
Well, now, did they speak English?
Oh, yes. We didn't have a problem. Let me tell you another. Just tell you how supportive the people there were. On Sunday, we went on a tour after I got back from the hospital, and a city tour. They provided a city tour, and we went to this beautiful church there, and so some of us decided we'd go to church on Sunday, and my wife had broken a bone in her foot. She was not able to do much walking, and so we decided to call the cab, and this guy came over, and a very nice cab, and we asked to take to the church, and he said, "Were you some of the people that were on the ship?" We said, "Yes, we were," and he said, "Well, you won't owe me a penny." He said, "You're kidding." It was a mile away to the church. And said, "No, this is my contribution to you." And he said, "In fact, what time will the church service be over?" And we said, "Maybe 12:30. He said, "Come back to the point that I'll let you out, and I'll carry you back to the hotel." And
that's
so he carried us back and would not take a penny for that. And the people there, the entire time we were there, not only the shipping company, but the hotel, the people in the community, they were doing everything that they could to make sure that the part of our trip that still remained would be as pleasant as possible.
Now, the morning that they were going to do this big bus tour, you were still in the hospital.
Well, yes, I was. In fact, I heard that they were doing this bus. In fact, that we were there at the hotel 5 days, and I think people were, you know, they were anxious to get their things, which we didn't know when those might
now, did the
begin.
Ship sink? Or
no, the ship had holes in the hull, and it was sinking, and had it been out in the major waters, it would have sunk, but they were able to. When the tugboats got it to shore, it got over about 27 degrees or tilted over about 27 degrees, and they said had it got more than 31, 32 degrees, it would have flipped and sunk. But they had underwater welders welding the holes that had occurred in the hull, and there were several of them that occurred during the explosion, and they had pumps pumping water out as rapidly as they could. So after about 2 days, they were able to patch the holes in the hull and get water out, so the ship started standing back up straight. But no one was ever able to get, none of the tourists were able to get back on the ship to get anything out.
Now, what did they figure? Did they figure out what caused this?
We never did learn that it was an explosion of some sort, and obviously a major explosion to knock holes in the ship as thick as the metal would be in the base of that ship. We didn't learn what really happened.
Wow.
But it was a major problem. The fire, if you look at the videos, it really, you can see the intensity of the fire. And we thought the ship was going to sink for sure, but they were able to get it under. It took 6 hours to get the fire under control, and then it took about 2 days to get the holes in the ship repaired so that the ship could be righted up again.
Wow. Now, okay, that was just a little aside. Now, to go back to, so the morning that you knew they were going to go out and do this great tour, you were still in the hospital.
Well, I was, and the doctor told me he was going to keep me one more day. but I saw.
And how persuasive are you, Dr. Walters?
Well, I saw the nurse early that morning, and I said, you know, to get the mind off of all the tourists, to have a different view of things, they were going to provide at no cost to us a trip, a full day trip to the fjords, and so I talked my the head nurse into assisting me, and so I knew about 8:30 the ship the tour was going to leave at 9, so about 8:30 I just knew I was not going to make it. But about 9:15 the head nurse came up, had the doctor with him, had the release statement with him, and so I was able to call and have the tour group that wait on me, and they had to wait about 10 minutes for me to get back from the hospital so that I could go on this tour to see the fjords of Norway.
So you got your way. You got out of prison there, huh?
Well, I got out of the hospital with the understanding that if my problem continued, I would come back. But I did get to go this beautiful trip up into the mountainous area. The mountains were still snow-capped, and you could see all the waterfalls coming down from the mountains. And, of course, these fjords are just beautiful to go visit and see, and it made the trip even more special, and really we would like to go back to Norway again. And the idea was to go all the way up to the northern tip of Norway to see the northern lights and such, and we didn't get that far, but maybe one day we'll get back.
Now was it fall? What time of the year was it over there? Or
yes,
was it still
No, there. It was fall, and it was cooler there. It was the temperatures during the day were probably upper 50s, and in the evening it was 40s. So it was cool, but the weather was while we were there was very nice.
Wow. So you got to take this trip. Now, just out of curiosity, you said it was 5 days that you stayed in the hotel.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now, why did they wait so long to get you all out of there?
They were trying to determine what they could do with everything that the people had, the tourists had on the ship, because they had all of their clothing, and many of them had, you know, their jewelry, and
what did they do for people with passports and stuff?
I mean,
you had your passports.
We had our
passport,
but... And that's a story in itself, that they flew a person from the American embassy over from Oslo and met with everyone to talk through the passport issue. And probably three-fourths of the people had to have passports reissued. They did an emergency. In fact,
wow.
We almost had a... The people almost attacked the guy from the embassy, and he said, "We will do your passport, but the cost of the passport is $135 per person." They said, "You're kidding." Said, "Look what the country of Norway is doing for us. They are providing us free clothing. They're giving us money to spend. They're doing all, and we can't get our passport. How are we going to?" Well, the cruise line gave each passenger again an additional $300, and about half of that went so that they could to the American embassy there to cover the cost of the passport. And this guy said, "Look,
America still got their money for the passports. Is that what you're telling us?"
The guy said, "Look, I'm the messenger. I don't set the policy. All I can do is follow the policy, and the cost of the passport is $135. So he said, "If you aren't happy with that, write your congressman." So a lot of the people on the trip will be writing their congressman.
Wow.
But in an emergency situation, you would think that something of emergency nature could be done.
Well, particularly because a lot of these people didn't even have credit cards.
They
didn't have any
money
to pay.
And that's what I know the friends that we were sitting with said, "Look, we don't have a penny to our name. We don't have a credit card. We don't have any money. There's no way that we can pay $135. But the cruise line stepped in and addressed that need as well.
Well, you got to give the cruise line a lot of credit here for making a miserable trip into something that is definitely memorable, but something where you felt safe and secure.
Absolutely.
That is terrific. Well, we just had a call in from Brigitte Simmons. She's retired and lives down there in Savannah Lake. She said she grew up on those working cruise ships. She said there's no finer life can be imagined. The area name translates God's back door.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
It really is.
She says it's a great area of the world. Bridget, thanks so much for calling us and letting us know that. God's back door. Do you feel that would be an accurate description?
Well, I think so. In fact, the town where we were, spent the 5 days in the hotel, is Alamond. And it was voted last year the most beautiful town in all of Norway. And I agree with that, because the houses around the water there are, it's kind of like Rainbow Road down in Charleston, and the architecture was so unique in design, and I love nice architecture to start with. I was so impressed with the entire city.
Wow. Well, I am glad to hear that it all turned out okay. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Hey, when did you get your luggage back?
Last Friday. It took 2 weeks, but they finally, everything came in.
Everything
and I
came
think
in?
Everything that we were looking for is there.
Unbelievable. Well, God bless. I'm so glad you're okay and that you had an experience that you'll never forget, right?
Oh, it's one to remember for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Walters, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us today.
And thank you.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.
That was fun.
So, God's back door.
Yeah, that's... I think I heard that someone talk about that when we were over there, but it is a beautiful country, the parts of it that we saw. Good.
Follow the recent burning of a Coptic Christian church.
That was cool. Yeah.
That was cool. What was cool was I think we located probably the only Norwegian Danish ones in the world. Stayed right here.
There they were, staying right here. All right. Well, that's pretty cool.
Survey says 27% agree with the movement's position on the financial system and social change, while 19% disagree. The other 54% have no firm opinion.
We know one of the, of course, the people there are attractive. And in fact, I mentioned to my wife, I know why they're all so slim. When I went in, the lunch that they provided me the first day was a small cup of asparagus soup, one piece of bread, a cup of coffee, and some water. And they did come back and say, if you want something else, we'll then for dinner, they had one drumstick, they had one like a salad, and one little cup of
yogurt, and then coffee, and water. Thomas Sargent were honored for studying how government policy